You can deny all the things I've seen, all the things I've discovered, but not for much longer. Because too many others know what's happening out there.
I want to believe.
Hi, this is David Duchovny, and you're listening to CJSF 90.1 Burnaby.
This is Bird Note. I'm Adé Ben Salahuddin, and in June of 2022, I worked as a volunteer research assistant on a tiny island off the coast of Maine with the National Audubon Seabird Institute. This was during peak hatch, the busiest time of the year at these breeding colonies. Common terns are the predominant species here, and thousands of them were emerging from their eggs. It's a very noisy place. But every once in a while, particularly in the evenings, the chorus would suddenly go dead silent as every adult tern dove over the rocky cliffs, deserting their young. Then, rising on air currents, they return. This strange behavior is called dreading, and it's not clear why terns do it. At first, I thought it was a response to a predator, but often, there's no threat to be seen. Some researchers have suggested it's a form of social bonding for the flock, to help them coordinate flight patterns for long-distance migratory journeys. Or, maybe, it's just for fun. If that's the case, it must be pretty entertaining, because terns will stop whatever they're doing to join the dread, even if that means their hungry chicks will have to wait a few extra seconds for dinner time. Learn more about dreading at birdnote.org.
Everything is no good. Everybody's walking around going, this is no good, this won't do, everything is gone wrong.
Do you think that the society that you live in is one you ought to rebel against, or do you think you're rebelling against it?
Yes, definitely rebelling against it.
We want to be free to ride. Sitting in a van all day long.
That part's not fun?
That part is not the most fun.
Does it smell in the van?
It smells in the van.
Oh, I like it when it smells. Is it dirty in the van?
It's dirty in the van.
Oh, I like it when it's dirty.
That's what we're doing, is we're here to alleviate that, you know, get people dancing, help them remember what rock and roll used to be like, and is now, but only in a very few cases.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Revolution Rock here on CJAM 99.1 FM in the Windsor, Detroit area. I'm your host, Dave Constantino, joined with Adam Pelche, and we're also syndicating across several different stations here in Canada, and we are also continuing our theme month program with one of our favorite episodes. We love theme month, but this one is, we usually do a different theme each month, focusing on Black History Month.
That's right, so that's one of our episodes we always return to. We're hoping to buck the trend for once, actually making sure the sequel is superior to the original by doing Punky Reggae 2. Reggae Boogaloo. So, yeah. Yeah, Dave, I know you're excited. He's just, like, handing, like, me all these signals. Like, he just doesn't know what to do. Dave, this is exciting stuff, because on Punky Reggae Party number 2, we're going to be playing some amazing music from the likes of some greats. We're going to be hearing from some hidden gems from the Canadian reggae sphere, from the likes of Leroy Brown, Earth, Roots, and Water, Noel Ellis. And we're going to be playing some classics coming all the way from Jamaica, of course, from the likes of the Upsetters, Toots and the Matills, and of course, Bob Marley and the Wailers.
Yes, and we're focusing on the 50th anniversary of actually a pair of albums that were released by Bob Marley and the Wailers, and starting with Catch a Fire, which is a very important album for a few reasons. One, it was one of the first, if not the first, international reggae albums to find success. The crossing over in the U.S. and the U.K.
I think that's marginally true.
Yeah, one of the first.
It could be argued that the Harder They Come soundtrack technically eked it out. But as a soundtrack, I guess, as a full-length record, debatably, it was probably the first real successful international reggae release. So, actually, Dave, I take it back. I think you're right about that.
And oh, thank you. And I did look up some information before the show. I don't just blindly say stuff. But anyways, I hope I'm correct. But we're talking about this album is important for quite a few reasons. In addition, it also was kind of the beginning of Bob Marley becoming a superstar.
That's right, becoming the icon of reggae music that he would be known for. And it says a lot, you know, both about his pedigree as an artist and also, you know, due to some of the misgivings I have with people and their casual familiarity with reggae music, that Bob Marley is sometimes the first thing, if not the only thing, people think about when you bring up the genre of reggae. With that said, Marley is known as the king of reggae for a reason, for that soulful voice, for those incisive lyrics, and for that charismatic performance style that he had. There was no one like Marley before him, and his group, the Wailers, was undoubtedly one of the most important groups to really substantiate and cement this genre, which would just spiral and grow and go on to influence a range of different forms of popular music, from rock to hip-hop to actually, standard pop music nowadays is hugely influenced by the type of music that reggae was producing in 73, and I think we're going to touch upon that in just a little bit.
And also, we should mention, because we did do something similar a couple of years back, we called it Punky Reggae Party. Reggae was directly influential on what would become punk rock and post-punk. Mm-hmm. A lot of the sounds and the things that reggae explored, especially lyrically as well, would transfer over into punk. It was a direct influence, although it may not seem that way to some. It absolutely was.
No, it's very crucial. You know, you can't think about bands like Public Image Limited or The Clash or the pop group, for that matter, without looking at reggae and dub music. And the irony of it is that reggae really started as a type of eschewing of tradition, adopting American R&B and soul music, infusing Caribbean musical stylings into it, and then that would go on to an international success, forming this genre we call reggae, that would go on to influence American pop and R&B music. So it was very cyclic in that way.
Yeah, and so we're going to talk a little bit more about this later. We're going to hear a set later on as well, some more music from Catch a Fire, and also from some of the other artists we're going to feature in this set, Toots and Matills, who we've talked about a lot on this show, and also the Upsetters / Lee Perry.
Mm-hmm, that's right. So we're going to get into quite a bit of the history of these releases. This first block, every album is celebrating a 50th anniversary this year. Also in the show, we're going to be playing some obscure Canadian reggae, some hidden gems, as well as focusing on a piano legend, getting outside of reggae a little bit to highlight the likes of Oscar Peterson and some other notable greats. So with that said, Dave, let's take it away with the opening track from Catch a Fire with Concrete Jungle here on Punky Reggae Party 2, Revolution Rock.
Thank you. sun will shine in my day today.
No sun will shine.
The high yellow moon won't come out to
that
play.
Darkness has covered my life. And has changed.
father say, something is over there for me. Grandmother say, let me tell you what to do now. My father say, son, let me share it up for you, nene. My mama say, let me tell you what to do. But I'm gonna sit right down and wait, yeah. Wait a little while, yeah, yeah. I'm gonna sit right down and wait, yeah. Wait a little while, nah. No, no, no. And if I get no way, no way, yeah. Ooh, no way, yeah. No way, no. I'm not starting to pass that way, yeah. They say I will never get no way, yeah. No, yeah. My father say something is over there for me now. And I tell him that now, daddy, I don't want to be that way now. My grandmother say, son, let me tell you just what to do now. I told me that there is something to this day. Tell me what to do now, and I realize that only I got what it takes.
Welcome to Blackboard Jungle. So don't you fumble, just be humble.
You are listening to the Funky Reggae Party, Part 2, Reggae Boogaloo, here on Revolution Rock. I'm Adam with Dave, and we just came back from a set of classic reggae and dub records, all with one thing in common. They were all released in 1973 and are celebrating a 50th anniversary.
That's right. We ended off with a pair of tracks. Well, not a pair of tracks. We ended up... Well, we did. But anyways, we ended off with a song from the Upsetters from... Now, this record is... there's two versions out there. A lot of these early reggae records, there would be different versions of songs. They'd be remixed, especially with dub.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, ending off with the Upsetters, Lee Scratch Perry. The Upsetters were his backing band on all the stuff he did in his studio in Black Ark, for the most part. And he was one of the pioneers in dub music. And this record we played from was called 14 Dub Blackboard Jungle, which was re-released under a slightly different title with different versions of the songs.
That's right, and I think there was even subsequent issues of it that changed the track listing further. So the original version of it is kind of hard to track down because the initial pressed version was only released in 300 copies and issued only in Jamaica. But it's very historically significant. The music critic Pauline Morrison said it was the first ever dub album released. Now, some contest this claim, but certainly is the first dub album released in stereo and the first one to include the use of reverb, which for me, reverb is so intrinsic to dub music. To me, it just makes sense. This is the first dub record. And when you talk about the influence of dub, like, you just have to listen to that track we heard called Black Panta, and you just hear how it influenced post-punk, electronic music, hip-hop, R&B, rock, contemporary pop music as well, and experimental music. Off the charts, it's just so forward-thinking to think those sounds came out of 73. Dub is in itself kind of interesting because I think a lot of people throw around the term but don't really understand the full history of what dub music is.
Yeah, and we were kind of looking into this a bit before the show, and we did previously talk about this when we did the last Punky Reggae Party. I believe it was in 2021. But anyways, it really kind of started because, you know, people were still recording on reel-to-reel tapes, and especially in Jamaica and in most places,